is we're going to be talking about fighting well. And, you know, people go, well, it's a sin to get angry. But it's really not a sin to get angry. I mean, Jesus got angry and he turned the tables over in the court. So when Jesus got angry, he didn't sin. And so the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. And so there's such a thing as righteous anger. And so we have the right to be angry. But I think the problem is that when we get into... when it comes to fighting with our loved ones, it's like we have this right to hurt them. It's like we have this right. You know, it seems that we hurt our loved ones more than we do anybody, don't we? We go to work and we put on this smiley face and life is grand, and then we go home and we take it out on the ones we love. Like they're supposed to understand. Like they're supposed to be callous to this. They're not supposed to have feelings. And so we just beat them up. And when we beat them up, you know, and then when we're done, we know, okay, well, you're not going anywhere. And then we walk off in our little tantrum and they walk off hurt. And then we just figure, okay, when we come back, they're going to be there. But with divorce at such a rate today, that they're not always going to be there. And let me tell you something, the children are feeling it. And it's just, man, it's just like this huge hamster wheel that everybody's gotten on, and nobody knows how to put the brakes on it. And so last week we talked about communicate. How do we communicate? And we talked about communicating and talking and getting, just literally communicating with one another. And what happens a lot of times, and especially for women, and of course I shared how when we were doing pancakes and Louisa came up to me and she had a question with sound, and I'm doing pancakes, getting the batter together, and she's like, she's talking to me, and in my mind I hear everything she's saying. I'm multitasking. And so I'm like, you know, go ahead, I'm listening, but in her mind she's like, you're not looking at me, therefore you're not listening to me. And she did this great, and she hates it when I share it. That's why I'm going to share it every week for the next 6 weeks. And she stops and she goes, will you look at me? And I went, okay, go on with it. You know, you got my attention now. But that's what we want. So when we communicate, we want eye contact. We want to know that you are plugged in, that we are on the same level, and that you're listening. Because if you're watching the football game, guys, or the baseball game, or MMA, or, you know, whatever it is, you're not listening. And I know, because listen, when I'm watching MMA, I zone out. Just leave me alone. Like that is my shutdown time. I get to watch somebody beat somebody up because I can't do it. And so, I'm just kidding. But you know, when you watch a sport, you just kind of zone out. Or when you're doing your own thing, you just kind of zone out. And ladies, you're just as guilty, because you'll get on the computer, or you'll get on the craft, or you'll get on the phone, and then nobody else exists while you're in your world. And so, you know, you're no better than the men. We all have our faults. And so when we communicate, we have to shut down and look at each other. But then when that happens, we make eye contact. Well, somebody could be angry at that time, couldn't they? Absolutely. And so now what happens? Oh, you want me to look at you? I'll look at you. We're going to make eye contact and we're going to discuss this, right? Well, you already know this isn't going to be good. I mean, we're coming out of the gate, fists up. We didn't even take time to put the gloves on, man. We're just coming out of the gate and we're ready to fight. And all of a sudden, what this desire to communicate turns into a desire to fight by some, and then the other, they just want to kind of curl up and hide, because somebody's going to get hurt. It's inevitable. When we fight, somebody is going to get hurt. And so we wonder why we do this. There was a book out, and the book was by Fulcom, and he titled it, which was really a weird title, It Was On Fire When I Lay Down On It. That was the title of the book. It Was On Fire When I Lay Down On It. And you go, what kind of book is this? I mean, the title alone would cause you to pick up the book and read it. Unless you're like some, if the cover doesn't intrigue you, you won't pick it up no matter how intriguing the title is. And so then he goes on and he explains it. He says, a tabloid newspaper carried the story, stating simply that a small town emergency squad was summoned to a house where smoke was pouring from an upstairs window. The crew broke in and found a man lying in a smoldering bed. After the man was rescued and the mattress fire put out, the obvious question was asked, how did this happen? To which the man replied, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. And you go, how does that happen? Like, this doesn't even make sense. You know, it's kind of, this is crazy. But, you know, why would a man lay down? It was on fire when I lay down. Obviously, the bed was on fire when the man laid down. Why would he lay down on a mattress that was on fire? That's a logical question. Then here's the next logical question. why do we want to hurt the people we love? I mean, it's just about as crazy as the man laying down on a mattress that's on fire, isn't it? Why do we want to hurt the ones we love? And yet, we will still lay down on that burning mattress and fight with the ones we loved and aim to hurt them. I mean, we don't just lash out because we're angry and we want our side to be right. Man, if we're not careful, we lash out trying to hurt. I remember before I was saved, man, and my wife will attest to this, and I'm ashamed of it, but it is what it is, and life rolls on. Before we were saved, I verbally, physically, I could hold my own with no problem, but verbally, I could slice and dice you. I mean, verbally, I had the ability to lash out and say things that were just absolutely devastating to people, and I didn't care. I mean, I didn't care. I said some things that, I mean, I just spoke my, if the thought came, it came out. And there were many, many times where my wife would go, oh my, I don't know him, I'm not related. There have been many times where my wife could have crawled under the carpet, literally, from some of the things that I said to other people. But I also said them to my loved ones. So I know what it is to be able to verbally lash out. I can do that. And I can do it very well. And we lose our temper. And listen, everybody's going to lose their temper. No families are perfect. What we're trying to do here is build a strong family, not a perfect family. Because check this out. You're never going to make it. If we're going for perfect, it's not going to happen, okay? But neither am I. Neither is my family. Why? Because there's all these different personalities involved. All these different thought patterns. All these different ideologies or even worldviews. You know, you can be in the same house, and if you're unequally yoked, you got two worldviews going on in one home. Oh my, does that constitute for a war? Absolutely. I love Jesus. I don't care about your Jesus. There's a war to begin with right there. I'm going to church. No, you're not. I'm tired of you going to church. Well, I'm taking the kids. No, we're going to teach them atheism this week. You're not taking the kids. So you're trying to teach them Jesus. They're trying to teach them Judaism. They're trying to teach them Catholicism. Trying to teach them Methodist or Lutheran or Baptist or whatever it is. And then the other one's going, oh, no, I'm going to have this. I'm going to have that. And you have this war. Like, I've never understood a Catholic Jew. They're out there, though, right? But what is that? That is not, listen, they're not really a Jewish Catholic or a Catholic Jew or whatever. You know what they are? They're compromising. Like, they can't stand for anything, so they'll stand for everything. You have all these different ideologies, all these different worldviews, and that causes fights. So we have to understand that there's a lot of things going on, and I want you to see that I'm not trying to build a perfect family with you guys. I'm just trying to help you build a strong family. We're going to see three videos today, and or this morning, and they're going to be back-to-back. And what you're going to see is you're going to see three different sets of circumstances, three different fights. You can go ahead and get ready to cue one up. You're going to see three different fights. So you're going to see fights between parents, fights between friends, and fights, of course, between boyfriend and girlfriend. You're going to see different angles of fighting. I had more that I was going to put up, but there's only so much time that I can do for videos. As you're watching this video, I want you to see and say, is that me? Is that what we do in our house? Is that how we fight? And then I want you to think about this. What kind of damage are we doing when we do this? Because I'm telling you, every fight is like a bomb going off. It does damage. Go ahead and start the video.
Like a bajillion times. You don't have the decency to call me back.
I'm sorry. Did I miss the part where you apologized for stealing my truck?
You've got to be kidding me. Do you even know what you put me through? Say something.
I went to church today.
Yeah? Yeah, my dad did the whole church thing, and then he left us.
Amy, I'm not your dad.
Then what is going on? Okay, you don't go to church, and who is this guy that I keep seeing you
with? What do you want me to do? Huh? You want me to apologize for you stealing my truck? Okay, I'm sorry.
That's all you got is an I'm sorry?
Amy, it's just not a good time right now. I've got a lot on my mind.
What about us? Is that it? You make love to me on Saturdays and then you confess on Sunday? Is that what the new plan's gonna be?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Well, at least I talk.
You know the kid that killed himself?
Yeah.
I knew him.
It's sad, but seriously, it's not like he...
Mattered.
I was gonna say, it's not like he was your friend.
We were best friends.
Jake, we've been dating for 3 years. I've never even met him.
We grew up together.
Okay, so a former friend of yours tries to shoot up the place and kill people, and you feel bad about it? You gotta let it go, okay? It's not your fault.
Then whose fault is it?
His parents, I don't know, okay? But it's not your job to watch over him. But you can watch over me.
It's a lot to think about.
I know what you're thinking about.
You think there's a God?
Excuse me? So weird.
Come on up. I'll take you home. Can I have my keys?
No.
We are not done talking.
Why are you always bringing this stuff up when I'm getting ready to go to a meeting?
Another meeting? At night?
It's nothing. Your mother's just overreacting.
It's okay, Jake. It's just a little misunderstanding.
Yeah. So don't worry about us. Just worry about yourself.
It's not worth it, Dad.
The meaning of this?
I'm not going.
Excuse me?
I've changed my mind.
Really? Well, when did this happen?
It's complicated.
Jake, this is not the way to get back at me.
It has nothing to do with you.
Do you have any idea how many guys would kill for an opportunity like this?
Like you?
Look, son, just think for a second. This scholarship is all you've got.
Not anymore.
Honey. I thought this was your dream. What's going on?
I can't go.
Why can't you?
Amy.
What about Amy, honey?
What?
Amy's pregnant.
Oh, tell me you're joking. Well, Jake, she can't force you to stay here.
It was not like that, all right? It's my choice.
So you're choosing to ruin your life?
I guess you would know.
It's your future.
When you look at those different modes of fighting, different reasons for fighting, different people fighting, the first one you see is him and his girlfriend, they're fighting, right? Well, what you don't, well, you get from watching the video, but If you haven't seen the whole movie, she steals his truck. And of course, he's nowhere to be found. She's looking for him, but she steals his truck. He's looking for his truck. And if you notice, when they were arguing, neither one seen either one's side, did they? Like, all the way through, even when he got to the point and he says, you know what, do you believe in God? And then all of a sudden it gears up another argument. She's not even hearing him. She's not even listening. Like, listen, her world is the only world that exists. His does not. And for him, his world is the only one that exists and not hers. Because he is so engulfed in his problems. And what they've done is, even though they were talking, were they not talking? Yeah, they were talking. But were they communicating? Not at all. They were fighting. And when you fight and you only think of yourself, it never ends up good. Then you have the second one. Mom and dad fighting and arguing, and the son walks in, the daughter walks in, the kids are in the house, and you're fighting and arguing and screaming in front of your children. Are you the husband and wife communicating? Yes. Are they destroying through their communication? Yes. Who are they destroying? Everybody in the household. And so, listen, moms, dads, whatever, adults, you don't need to be fighting and arguing in the house. It causes damage. And then you get into the end one, and the dad is so consumed with his drive and with his personal gain and with what he wants, that if his son isn't lining up with what he wants, he doesn't get it. Did you notice that the son said, it's about Amy? And the mom's looking in his eyes. Do you notice this? The mom is looking in his eyes. The son never says what's wrong, does he? He just said, it's Amy. Mom looks in his eyes, and she gets it. Oh my, she's pregnant. Dad, meanwhile, in the back corner is going, what? Will somebody fill me in? Why? Because he's not stopped to think about his son for one moment. He has not stopped to think why his son doesn't want to take the scholarship that he has so he can go on to college. He has not stopped to think about anybody but himself. And so you see this, and then what's he do? It's your future, and walks out. So you see three different modes of fighting with three different variations of circumstances and people. And in each one, you see that they think of themselves. The only one that has seemed to hold it together was Mom with the son in the last clip. Because she was doing something that nobody else was doing in the videos. She was looking at him eye to eye, and she was trying to figure out his pain. And so as we go through this, we're going to look at some things, and we're going to look at some scripture. But first I want you to open to James 4, 1 through 2. Open to James 4. James is toward the back of the book. If you hit Revelation, you went just a little too far. You need to back up. That's James, Peter, Hebrews, James, Peter. I want you to go to James 4, 1 and 2. Let's look at that and we'll read it. James 4, 1 and 2. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasures that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Well, really what this is talking about is pride and how pride promotes strife. And what he's saying here is, you know what? Why do you fight? Where does this come from? I'm going to tell you where it comes from. It comes from the desires within your members. In other words, it comes from selfishness. It comes from you wanting what you want and you don't care what anybody else wants. And that's where the wars come from. That's where the arguments come from. When we're all about us and we don't consider anybody else, then we go into the war. And so I hope you have your handout sheet and an ink pen, and we're going to kind of buzz through this because of a time frame and so many fill in the blanks that I want to make sure that I get this done and that you can take it home. And so if you don't have a sheet, make sure that you raise your hand, let somebody know, make sure that you can get that, get a sheet for this. Okay, the first one we're going to look at is why it is hard to fight well. It's hard to fight well, isn't it? It really is hard to fight well. But here's the thing. When a person is mad, their IQ drops by 20 points. Your IQ literally, and listen, this is scientifically proven, okay? This isn't somebody just said, hey man, that sounds good and we'll put it down. Scientifically proven, psychological changes that come over you when you are mad are designed to help you either fight or flee, which means that blood that would normally be in your brain gets channeled to your muscles. And so when you lose blood from the brain, because your muscles are taking that extra blood that your brain would normally get, your IQ drops 20%. So what that means is that when the blood leaves your brain, you get certifiably dumber. Isn't that encouraging? That when you're mad, you're getting dumber, and the madder you get, the dumber you get. How's that for helping you this morning? And so so here's the thing. If you were a genius before you got mad, now you're an average thinker. So you went from genius to average just by being mad. Which means that if you were an average thinker before you got mad, now you become an imbecile. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry, but I'm just telling you the results of the thing. So when you get mad, if you're an average thinker, now you become an imbecile. If you were a genius, you just come down to my level, average thinker. And so, listen, so when you're fighting, the blood leaves your brain, and you aren't so smart anymore. And then what happens an hour or two after you're done? And you got time to calm down, you got time to think, and you're either driving or you're riding, or you go to your little room and you shut the door, you go outside, or you do wherever you go and whatever you do. And about 2 hours later, you start thinking about that conversation, don't you? You start thinking about that argument. And then you're going, man, what was I thinking? I knew I shouldn't have said that. Man, it's the couch for a month. I don't know what I was thinking. Right? And then the lady's going, I know I shouldn't have said it, but you know what? I was just so tired and so up to here with it, I just had to let it go. And so, you know, because you women will justify. No, I'm just kidding. And so what happens is, you know, I'm just kidding. And some of you are going, that's true. That's true, Pastor. And so what happens is we do that. An hour or two later, we get done and we're going, what in the world just happened? Like, why did that happen? And sometimes you'll even ask yourself, how did that get started? Right? I mean, like, what started this madness? And then 2 months down the road, or 3 months down the road, or a year down the road, or even 15 years down the road, you'll go, man, I remember when I picked the TV up and threw it across the room. Well, what in the world made you do that? I was mad. Well, what made you that mad? I can't remember. But I know I threw that TV across the room. Right? Do you remember that? You remember the result of the fight, but you have no clue why you fought. Why? Because your IQ drops. Remember? You become stupid. Okay, which takes us to our next point. When I am mad, not a good thing, but it happens. It is what it is. So when I am mad, I am more than reasonably dumb. How's that? So listen, fighting well is important because you want to do it when you're at your best. You want to fight when you're at your best. And you go, what? Fight when we're at our best? Yeah. When you're at your best thinking, when you're in your best, when everything is the way it should be, then you don't mind fighting. Because you know the outcome is not going to hurt and damage and destroy. It'll actually make progress. It's okay to fight. It really is okay to fight if you do it right. So we're going to look at five different ways that you can fight. There's five different ways you can fight, and the first way is to leave. Now, this is a pretty simple method of fighting. You know, your husband, wife, son, daughter, friend, they all have issues. You don't want to discuss it. You say, look, I don't want to talk about it, and so then you just leave. But then here's the problem with that method. It never gets solved. The problem never gets solved. People just deal with it, bury it until the next time, but then what happens? See, listen, let me tell you what happens when you just walk away and you don't deal with it. If you would have stood there and fought, then your opponent only had one gun, one barrel, one bullet. But when you put it off and you come back to fight the next time, and then say you run again, and then you come back the third time, and now you're going to take your stand, doggone it, you're tired of it, and you're going to fight. All of a sudden, your enemy, your opponent, now has three barrels, 3 bullets and some slingshots that they've gathered along the way that they got, that they can fight with. Because why? Because nothing was settled. And so now, instead of fighting with your enemy with one bullet, one barrel, now you've given all this ammunition that has just piled up. And they're going to pull it out and use it on you. Why? Because these are unsettled issues that have to be settled. Does that make sense? Okay, some of you are looking at me with these rolled up eyebrows. I want to make sure I said that right. That's what happens. So you know, yeah, your option is you can leave, but does it settle anything? No. So then your second option is I look out for myself. I look out for myself. Do you remember the old Western? How many used to watch Westerns, or your dad used to watch the old Westerns, right? You go on Sunday home, you get home Sunday from church, or if you didn't go to church Sunday morning, turned on a TV Western show, and it played all day, right? And so you got to see John Wayne until you knew how to talk like him, walk like him, comb your hair like him, and spit like him. So at any rate, you see these old Westerns. Remember they get in the corral, and you know, the OK Corral, and they're going to have a shootout, and so they go back to back and they walk off their paces and they turn around and they unload their gun. Why? Because they're going to win at any cost, even at possible injury for themselves. They're going to win at any cost. And so the thing is, when you look out for yourself, you're actually, this method produces the goal to win at all cost, and then everybody gets hurt, including you. And so you can't have the I look out for myself attitude. So then the third thing is, I let you win. Okay, here's another way to fight. You know what? I don't like to fight. And you're going to be shocked by this. But statistics say that women want to fight almost 3 times at the rate that men want to fight. Women want to fight at 3 times the rate that men do. Men will go, you know what? I'm a dog and you're a cat, which means I'm going to get my nose cut if I hang around. So guess what? I don't want to fight. And they'll walk away. Or the woman goes, oh, no, you don't. Right? Isn't it? Come on, women get the wobblehead thing going. But men don't want to fight. So men usually will do this, not the women. I let you win. It's just not worth it. I'm going to let you win. But now there's a problem with this. And the problem is, when we do this, is we're going, okay, I'm going to lay down my agenda, and I'm going to let you win. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to let you have your way. But here's what happens. In this case, in the I let you win case, your place in your relationship starts to shrink. And it starts to shrink, and the other person becomes big while you become small. Now, all of a sudden, if the woman's getting bigger and the man's getting smaller, now we're out of proportion with what God wants, aren't we? Then what happens? All of a sudden, if this person gets big, this person becomes small, then this person starts towering over and dominating. And then what happens to the small person? Inadequacy, depression, anger that's just concealed. I mean, all this stuff starts welling up inside of them. And then what happens? We got to have a release. And so there is an incredible explosion. There's a divorce. Or there is stepping out of the marriage. Because they're looking for that security somewhere. They're looking for that love somewhere. They're looking for that attention somewhere. And so you have to be real careful. The I let you win doesn't work. The fourth thing we're going to look at is, I give a little to get a little. Now that's usually the men's mentality. All right. So it says, here's what happens with this. I give a little to get a little. You know what? We're going to negotiate this. We're politicians. We're lawyers. So I'm going to give a little. I'm going to get a little. And so you think, listen, why not? This is just going to kind of please everybody, right? We're just going to make sure everybody's happy. Look, you walk away with a little bit of what you got. I walk away with a little bit of what I got. Everybody's happy, but really nobody's happy. Why? Because nothing was settled. And you're not going to feel satisfied. And the other thing, too, is you're settling for less than what God really wants you to have. You're absolutely settling for less than what God wants you to have. And so then the fifth thing we look at. is we look out for each other. The fifth way to fight is we look out for each other. I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Go to Philippians chapter 2. It's just to the left of James, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Kind of give you the idea. Philippians chapter 2. Let's look at verse 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than them, better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. We look out for each other. Now, what happens if we're fighting for your best interest and fighting for our own best interest? What happens when we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you what happens. That's God's way of, let's say that's God's fighting method. That's what it is. That's God's fighting method. It's okay to fight. I already told you guys it's okay to fight. As a matter of fact, it's inevitable. You are going to fight. You're going to go home. You're going to disagree. There's going to be, well, you know, look, you didn't put the mayonnaise in the door. You put it on the shelf, and it was supposed to be in the door. What are you thinking, man? Right? And you're going, honey, oh, look, you put the cans away, and they weren't organized by color, then by alphabet, then by popularity of use in the house. And so how can you do this? And look, there's going to be fights because you think one way, and your spouse thinks another. And so there's going to be fights. It's inevitable. You know, you go out. Why didn't you leave a note? Why didn't you call? If you're going to be late, why didn't you call and tell me you were going to be late? Because I'm always late. I thought you'd figure it out by now. Right? That doesn't work. I'm kidding. Some of you look at me like I actually do that. I don't do that. I'm just kidding. Like, you don't do that. No, I don't do that. I just don't call. No, I'm kidding. And so, you know, it's like, why didn't you call? Why never call? I thought you'd understand, but now I'm always late. So why do you expect me to call every time? You know I'm going to be late every time. It's not a good way to do it. We have to say, you know what? You're right. I should have called you. I should have left a note telling you where I was going. I should have called you and told you I was going to be late. I should have called. I should have done this. I should have done. We have to watch out for each other. And so that was the fifth way. Now we're going to look at the anatomy of a fight. And the first thing with the anatomy of the fight is the issue. The issue. What's going on? Why are we fighting? Like, what's happening here? What do we need to talk about? What is the issue? Are you depressed? I mean, what is the issue that's causing the fight? You know, people say, well, the reason that, you know, this is the reason why we were fighting, but that's not really the reason you were fighting. Like, what is the core issue? Everything has a core issue. You know, what we have to be careful is, a fight is the byproduct of the core issue. A fight is the byproduct. It is what happens when this isn't dealt with, then we fight. When we're selfish, we fight. When we think of everything but everybody, we fight. I mean, the fighting is the byproduct of it. And so you have to sit down and go, what is the issue that we're fighting over? Then the next thing, that the anatomy of the fight, is the relationship. The relationship. And in this, and we're talking about the relationship, the question that has to come to mind when you look at the relationship, how much do I value you? How much do I value you? Because that's going to determine how I treat you. And let me tell you, I talked earlier about we go to work and we're all, hey, everything's great, blah, blah, blah. We go home and we thrash our family. Do you know what you're saying? I value the strangers at work more than I value my family. That's right. And you say, oh, my family's supposed to understand. Where's my outlet supposed to be? If it's unhealthy, it's not supposed to be anywhere. It has to be healthy. And if you're only lashing out at your loved ones, then you're telling them that I value strangers at work more than I value you. And we do that, right? Man, you'll be fighting and arguing, and the phone rings. Hello. Right? As you just went from, hello. Right, everybody does this. What are you saying? I value the stranger. I value the friend. I value everyone else more than my loved one. And so we have to look at the relationship. and asked the question, how much do I value you? Now, the next thing that we're going to look at is the fight method. Man, I'm doing good. I'm right on this, baby. The fight method. And so we're breaking it down here. Fight, F-I-G-H-T. And this is going to help you to solve your battle. This is going to help you to fight well. This is going to help you to fight healthy. There is such a thing as good, healthy fighting. Okay, the first one we're going to look at is figure out the issue. What are we really fighting about? Have you ever seen or ever been in an argument and then you realize, like, you run, the argument runs its course and you get to the end and you realize there was no need to argue, there was no point in arguing, and you go, why are we fighting over this? And you both start laughing because you realize how silly it was because your IQ dropped. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so what you want to do is, why are we fighting about this? What's the issue here? What's going on that is causing us to fight? And then don't look at what caused you to fight, because look, that was probably the straw that broke the camel's back. You got to go back farther and see where the real issue is. The real issue is, which brings us to the next point, is identify each person's needs. Identify. Here's the issue. Have I hurt you? Are you lonely? Am I not spending enough time with you? Are you depressed? Why are you depressed? What's going on? In our economy today, listen, you look around, and I was talking to a police officer the other day, and he said, you know, before it just used to be like burglary. You can turn that down. It used to be sorry, I get up here and I forget the temperature, and I see people's lips turning purple, and I got to remember to turn the air off. he said, you know, there's burglary, and he said, but now it's full-blown robbery. I mean, like, it used to just be petty theft stuff, and now it's felony thievery. Why? Because, man, the economy's collapsing and people feel that's the only way they can feed their families and everything. Listen, in our economy today, the stress level's high. Why? Because the debt is high. When the debt's high, the stress level's high if the money's low. And so what happens? All of a sudden, the ones that we love become our targets. Why? Are you blaming your spouse for spending too much on credit cards? Or maybe it's you. I mean, what's the issue that's causing you guys to fight? And you figure that out, and then you identify each person's needs, if they're depressed, if they're lonely. And you know, sometimes what happens is we have our own need. Like, it's our need, and we know what it is. And because we can't satisfy it, or because we're not doing what we should do to satisfy it, because God gives us all the tools to fix all the problems in our life, but because we're not doing what we should do to satisfy it, we expect our spouse to satisfy it for us, but we haven't communicated it. And so now we're angry at our spouse for not taking care of our need that we never told him we had. Makes sense to me, doesn't it? Do you? But don't we do that? And so you have to understand, okay, listen, let's figure out the issue, and then let's identify each person's needs in this fight. And then once we've identified the needs, then we can generate a solution. We can generate solutions. Because here's the thing. A lot of times we fight, and we just end it because somebody gets hurt or somebody feels like the argument's over. But what do we have? Like what are we coming out of this with? What's the solution? How do we fix this? How do we stop the fight from happening again the next time? Give me a solution to figure out the problem. That's what we need. Now, I can't do that for you up here, but you can do that in the midst of your fighting or before you fight. Okay? We figured out the problem. We figured out the issue. We figured out each other's needs. Now, how do we solve this? Oh, you're lonely? Okay, so how about this? How about I quit thinking so much about me and I spend some time at home with you? And maybe we can spend some time as a couple. That would solve the problem of loneliness, wouldn't it? Absolutely. So what'd we do? We just generated a solution. If we don't get to the problem, we can't have a solution. If we don't have a solution, guess what we're going to have again? A fight! And it'll be unhealthy, and somebody will get hurt. They always do get hurt when there's not solutions. Then the fourth thing that we have, once you've agreed on the solution, the H, it stands for have prayer together. okay, we just figured out the issue. We just identified each other's needs. We generated a solution. And so now, you know what? Let's go to God and ask God to help us, to give us wisdom, to give us understanding, to give us all the tools that we need to implement them and apply them and work them out in our relationship so that we don't fight through this again or fight over this again. And if we do, we get stronger and healthier rather than causing a disability within the relationship. And so once you've done that and you've got the power of God in on the situation, you've got the guidance and the wisdom of God, the next thing that you're going to look at is take responsibility for the solutions. Oh my. I'll tell you what, I can preach a whole sermon on this. I'm not going to do it because it'd be more of a soapbox than a sermon. But listen to me. That's because I don't have all the scriptures I have. Otherwise, I'll have a sermon later. Take responsibility. Whose fault is it? We already figured out the issue. We've already figured out, identified the person's needs. We generated a solution. We have prayer together. Now take responsibility for the solution. Okay, honey, you know what? I've been working way too much. You're lonely. I understand that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut back on my extracurricular activities, and I'm going to spend time together with you. You know, Friday nights we have a men's Bible study, and it's really, really good. And in that we were talking about... You know, we were just talking about basic men's needs and so on and so forth. Of course, it's a men's Bible study. We're going to talk about us, right? I'm kidding. And we were talking about how, you know, the wives need our attention. And one of the men said, hey, you know what? It's funny you mentioned that because, you know, we'll go, my wife says, we need to spend more time together. We need to do this together. We need to hang out together, whatever. And in my mind, I'm thinking, we're in the living room. We're already together. What more do you need? I'm sitting on the couch. You're sitting in the chair. Life is grand. We're together. What do you want? But that's not together, is it? Because you're both zoned out in the TV, you're zoned out on the computer, you're zoned out in whatever you're doing, you're zoned out in your book, you're zoned out in your crossword, whatever you got going on. And so for the man, he says, hey, if I'm at home, we're together. And for the woman says, no, when we're on the couch and we're cuddling, we're together. And the man goes, I don't like the cuddle. And the woman says, but I do. So we got to have a solution. Then we got to take responsibility for it. And the man's got to go, sometimes, I hate cuddling. But I'm going to go out into that living room because I love my wife more than I hate cuddling. And I'm going to smile like I really love her. And I'm going to cuddle. And so then you park your attitude, you take it off, and you put it over here. And you leave the bathroom, you turn out the light, and you go, honey, let's cuddle tonight. And then when she awakens, she'll already be in your arms, and you guys are on the couch, and life is good, right? But we have to do this. We have to recognize the solution, and then take responsibility for our part of the solution, and then activate it. We have to work it out, which takes us to the next point. And that is fighting principles. We're going to look at fighting principles. And for sake of time, I'm not going to take you to all the scripture, but write it down. And you may even have it on your outline. I can't remember if I put it on there. Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Do you have that on there? Okay. So you already have the scripture there. But basically what we're talking about, this is a Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, hey, you know what? If you have an offering or a gift that you want to bring to the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, or you have something against your brother, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave your gift there in front of the altar. I want you to go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and give the gift back to me. And so he says, look, here's what I want you to do. I want you, the first thing here, I want you, when there's a problem, to take the initiative. Take the initiative. He says, listen, you can't honor me. You can't worship me. You can't love me as your God 100% if you have ought or if you have struggles with somebody else. If you have hatred in your heart or anger in your heart, you can't come to me 100%. So here's what I want you to do. Before you come to me and you give this gift to me, and before I'm going to take it, because you're not giving it to me because you're sold out to me, because you got problems, you got issues that you got to deal with. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the initiative. I want you to leave that gift that you have for me, is what God says. I want you to go to that person you have a problem with and settle it. And then you go, well, what if they don't forgive me? That is not up to you. Their response has nothing to do with your heart. You take the initiative, you go to them, and you say, I'm sorry. And for some of you, it's to your spouse that when you get home today, you got to go, honey, you know what? I am so sorry that I have treated you the way I have. Now, that requires swallowing a little bit of pride, which becomes very difficult. Ladies, you might have to go, honey, you know what? I am so sorry. Ephesians talks about love and respect. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. If you haven't done that, apologize to your wife for it, apologize to God for it, and then take the initiative to fix it. Wives, if you don't respect your husbands, guess what? You go to your husband, you apologize for that, you go to God, you repent for it, and guess what you do? You start respecting your husband. And you say, well, he hasn't earned it. The Bible doesn't say he has to earn it. The Bible says you're to respect your husband. And guys, the Bible doesn't tell you that your wife has to be lovable. He says love her. It's a choice. It's a conscious decision. It's not dependent on their actions. You take the initiative. You do what God says to do. And you follow through with it. Whether they like it. Whether they earn it. Whether they deserve it. It's immaterial. God says do it. And so you have to take the initiative in it. And then next thing I want you to look at is Matthew 18:15. I'm sure you have that one there as well. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault. That's not going, you messed up, it's all your fault. And I'm all, no. You know what you do? You go to him and you go, hey, look, we got a problem here and we need to talk about it. If they don't respond, that's not up to you. What is you is your heart between you and that person and genuine forgiveness or genuine dealing with this situation. And God says, they don't have to forgive you. They don't have to like you. They don't have to do anything. You just have to do what you got to do. And he says, so the next principle we have when there's, wait a minute. You got to take the initiative. Next thing is, that on that is talk to God before you talk to the other person. Talk to God before you talk to the other person. And so on the scripture, it is Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So the second thing we got to do is talk to God before you talk to the other person. Why do we want to do that? We want to get our heart right. We want to get our mind right. We want to get our attitude right. We got to be right before we approach somebody. It's like going out and say, "Well, I'll tell him I'm sorry, but man, I'll get back at him, but I'll go up to him." That's having, yeah, baby, that's being right. Well, I'll ask for forgiveness just because I know it's what you want, and it'll calm this fight down. But you wait till later. I would load up a few more guns, right? Can we do this? And so you go to God to get your heart right, your mind right, and get yourself right. And then in Matthew 7:3-5. It says, why do you look at a speck of sawdust in your eye or in your brother's eye and you don't pay any attention to the plank in your own eye? Why are you doing that? And so the third thing that we got to look at is work on yourself before you work on the other person. Work on yourself before you work on the other person. Listen, in Matthew 7:3-5, he says, you hypocrite! You hypocrite! You don't even deal with your problem, but you're quick to point out your brother's problem, your sister's problem, your spouse's problem. You hypocrite! Fix yourself first, then worry about the other person. I tell people all the time that if you become what God wants you to be, your spouse will become what you want them to be. It's inevitable. It'll happen, but it is up to you. And so then the fourth thing that we look at in Ephesians 4:26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't go to bed when you're angry at your spouse. The fourth thing is solve the problem soon, but don't fight while you're mad. Why don't we fight when we're mad? We're dumb. Right? Our IQ drops. We're not that intelligent. And so don't fight when you're mad. You solve the problem soon. Don't go to bed angry. The Bible says solve it today. Solve it before you pillow your head. Because if you don't, it'll go on and on and on. And listen, the longer it goes, the harder it is to repent, the harder it is to ask for forgiveness, the harder it is to fix the fight, the harder it is to go to your wife or your husband. And here's what happens. With each passing day, this happens. With each passing day. And let me tell you, the more distance you get between you and your spouse, so much harder to come back and say, forgive me, or even I love you. And so take care of it soon. All right, your family assignment. I had a story at the end, but for sake of time, I can't get it in. So we'll go real quick to your family assignment. Pick a fight this week. Nice! Yes, Pastor told me to fight! Pick a fight! I want you to go home and I want you to pick a fight! What's that?
One fight.
Not a real fight. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to practice. That takes us to the next one, point two. Practice the fight method. Practice it. Get up there and say, honey, you know what? Okay, Pastor told us to fight. We got to fight. So here's what we're going to do when we fight, okay? And pick a fight. Work it out so you start practicing the fight method. Not a real fight, guys. Don't bring up trash you know is just going to cause that roof to blow up. But listen, I'm having a little fun with you here. Because the whole idea is I want you to practice the fight method. And then three, I want you to teach this method to a friend. Take notes. Take an extra sheet. I think we have extra sheets. I know we have extra sheets. Take extra ones. Fill them out for your friend. Make sure it's legible so they can read it. And then give it to them and say, hey, look, I want you to think about this. Go on our website. Tell them to go to the website and this message will be posted on the website. So go on there and listen to the thing and they'll get the message. And so you want to teach this method. Why do we want to teach this? Because we're our brother's keeper. Let me tell you something. Another couple gets in fight. They get a divorce. Who's going to deal with that mess? We do. We got to deal with the kids. We got to deal with the spouse. We got to deal with all the fighting, the anger, the issues that happen. Everything that's going on, we have to deal with that. It doesn't just stay in your house. It goes everywhere. So teach this to people so that they can learn how to fight and make their family stronger. And the fourth thing, file your notes where you can find them. Download them on your BlackBerry. Pull out. Say, wait a minute. I got to go to the fight section and pull it out. I don't care. Paste it on the wall. Frame it. Frame it and have it so that you can flip it over back and forth on the wall. You know what I'm saying? Or something. So that you have your directions on how to fight. Don't lose them. You need them. Listen, I'm telling you guys, and I'm wrapping up right here. We have to learn how to fight. And we have to learn how to fight well. Everybody knows how to fight. But we got to learn how to fight well. There's a healthy fight. There's a healthy argument. If you keep each other at the forefront to go, okay, you know what? What's your need? What's going on here? What's causing this? And then what can I do? And when you look at it like that, let's fix the reason there's a fight. You guys will solve a lot of issues. I want everybody to stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Stand. I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, I know that today wasn't a salvation message, but we're not going to leave here without giving each and every one of you an opportunity to receive Christ if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. We got to learn how to fight, but we need the strength of God if we're going to fix this. And we need the hand of God on our life. But we know that God takes care of His children. But if you're not a child of His, the Bible says you're an enemy. And if you're an enemy of God's, then that means He's not going to carry you through it. He's not going to be there. He's not going to be your ever-present help in trouble and in need. And you say, well, I don't know how to become a child of God. So I'm going to tell you right now, it's real easy. Number one, you have to believe. The Bible says that you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You have to believe that He died on the cross and He rose again the third day. Then the Bible says you receive. If you're here today and you want to receive Christ as your Savior, then you pray this prayer. It's not the words that's going to save you. It's your heart. Do you really believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you believe that He's the Savior of the world? Do you believe that He died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe on the third day He rose again? If you do, you pray this prayer quietly into yourself. Dear Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I do wrong. Everything I do does not add up to what You want me to do. And right now, today, I repent of those sins. Lord, I need help to get through this. And so today I repent. I ask Your forgiveness. Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Live Your life through me, that I would live my life for You. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you really believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that died on the cross for your sins, and in your heart you were real with yourself and you were real with God inviting Him in, the Bible says that heaven is your home, that you're now a child of God, you're saved.